the entire East Central Illinois area, our listening area, is under clouds that are producing at least some precipitation. Maybe not a whole bunch of snow hitting the ground, but still a steady snowfall. The heaviest amounts of snow looking to be right along the Ohio River, almost following the river from Cairo all the way up through southern Indiana and into Ohio. The snow in our area is only going to be not too much for the rest of the day. We'll see again it diminished to flurries. Blustery northwest winds will be developing this evening, though. As the system moves to the east, that's going to bring much colder air into the region. Temperatures will dip below zero in some locations by tomorrow morning, and bitterly cold wind chills will be several degrees below zero. We've got a wind chill advisor for Ford and Iroquois County coming up, but for the rest of us, until 6 o'clock this evening, a winter weather advisory remains in effect. That includes Champaign, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion counties. Periods of light snow until mid-afternoon, then we'll see flurries scattered through the rest of the day. New accumulations of up to maybe an inch, with 2 to 4 inches total in the Champaign-Urbana area. The high of around 24 degrees this afternoon. For tonight, bitterly cold. The winds will kick up from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles an hour. That'll mean wind chill readings overnight between 4 and 14 below zero. The temperature low tonight, 1 above. For tomorrow, mostly sunny but still bitterly cold. The high of only 11 degrees. Light northwest winds becoming south in the afternoon. Early wind chill readings between 0 and 10 below for tomorrow morning. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, chance of snow again, near steady temperature around 10. And for Saturday, not as cold, mostly cloudy and a slight chance of snow again, the high of around 25 degrees. Southwest winds on Saturday, 5 to 10, becoming northwest in the afternoon. Beyond that, mostly cloudy Saturday night through Wednesday, with a chance of snow reappearing on Monday. Highs Sunday in the low 20s, Monday through Wednesday in the upper 20s. Low Saturday and Sunday nights in the lower teens, Monday night around 20, Tuesday night in the mid-teens. Looking around East Central Illinois right now, light snow reported in most of the area. Actual partial sunshine in Peoria, where the break in the clouds is starting to appear. The northwest corner of Illinois pretty much in the clear from any snow right now. Pontiac is cloudy with no snow and 19 degrees. 19 in Decatur with a little bit of light snow. Wind chill of 7 above there. It's 17 in Bloomington. In Springfield, 19 degrees, as well as at Willard Airport. 20 in Danville, Rantoul, and Mattoon. 21 in Paris. At Willard, at the top of the hour, we had 1 mile visibility. A wind chill of 6 with the wind, northwest wind at 13 miles an hour. Still a little bit of light snow. Relative humidity at 84%. The dew point 15. And the pressure falling at 30.08. Again, 19 at Willard Airport, 20 degrees on our friend's Plaza thermometer right now. It's 20 minutes until 1 o'clock. Coming up, we visit Radiolab and Prairie Dog Communication. No, really, it's going to be an interesting segment. But first, with all the news focused on gas prices in the country, it can be easy to forget that America depends on petroleum for all kinds of products, everything from lip balm to laundry detergent. Now, the government is pushing non-petroleum alternatives for some of those items. Elizabeth Shogren has this report.
The federal government has come up with a new label for what it calls bio-based products. Look for it on trash bags made of corn, building insulation fashioned from wool, and inks and glues made of soy. Deputy Agriculture Secretary Kathleen Merrigan says people will start seeing the logo this spring.
Consumers want to know, with a plethora of labeling claims in the marketplace, that what they're investing their dollars in is meaningful, that it's backed by some sort of certification.
Companies already have introduced thousands of products made from plants or animals instead of petroleum. That's because of a law that requires the federal government to buy such products if they exist and are affordable.
We probably would not see the growth of these products without this program.
Steven Sensky is the executive director of the American Soybean Association. His group pushed Congress to require the switch.
That helps drive demand, and then it scales up manufacturing so then it can be available to the general public.
Using bio-based products is supposed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and dependence on foreign oil. But of course, lots of petroleum goes into fertilizers, tractors, and irrigation machines. The government isn't taking that into account when it decides whether a product qualifies for its new label. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News, Washington.
Hey, Renee.
That's Jad Abumrad from WNYC.
And this is me, Robert Krulwich. Radiolab is a show where we get curious and we explore ideas.
Yeah, and sometimes we talk to animals.
Okay.
Well, not really, but we do have a story about a kind of animal talk.
We ran across it not in dolphins and not in chimps, but in the prairie dog.
Woo! Prairie dogs.
So here's the thing. Prairie dogs are these little rodent-like animals. They live under the ground in burrows. And when their community is invaded, they, you know, pop out of the burrow and they say, uh-oh, here comes the whatever.
Sounds kind of like chee, 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 chee.
So we spoke with this guy.
My name is Kant Slobodchikov, professor emeritus at Northern Arizona University.
Who's spent a whole lot of time
sitting out in the colonies,
recording prairie dog calls. And he now believes that these simple little rodents are like nature's wordsmith.
Well, the thing is that initially I recorded...
For instance, he began by telling us that the prairie dogs have different kinds of chees.
Different warning cries.
For different kinds of predators.
For example...
Humans, coyotes...
And
dogs.
Right.
Is this the kind of thing that we would actually be able to hear the difference between the calls?
I'm guessing that you could hear the difference.
You want to try it, Dad?
Yeah. Soren, could you just play those samples?
All right, so here's one. This is another one.
All right.
Okay.
Here you go. This is a third.
Those represent different predators?
Yep.
I can't tell the difference.
Can you? I mean, do you know what they are?
Human, dog, coyote.
Oh, wow.
So, guys, wait. How does he? I mean, what difference is he hearing?
Well, he told us at first that, like us, he couldn't tell the difference. But then he took the sounds back to his lab.
Where we had a machine that allowed us to measure a series of frequency and time elements in the call.
And what this computer does is it takes the sound that the prairie dogs make and it essentially looks inside for the ingredients inside the sound.
And what does that mean?
Well, it's kind of hard to hear with the chirp. But let me demonstrate with a different sound. Which to us sounds like a solid piece of noise.
Okay, yeah.
If you take away all of the high frequencies...
It becomes like a low bass buzz.
Yeah, exactly. But now, if you add those high frequencies back in really slowly...
Yeah, okay.
You'll start to hear these hidden overtones just pop out.
Uh-huh. So these sounds are kind of hidden in that original sound.
Exactly. So in other words, this sound... is filled with little ghost notes that we can't hear. And certainly the same is true of this sound. Except in the case of the prairie dogs, it seems their ears are tuned to hear all the different sounds within the chirp. Probably sounds to them like this whole layer cake of tones.
And Khan's computer noticed that the noise they made when a human walked through their village was different in tone from the noise they made when a coyote walked through their village. It was consistently different.
But there was a problem.
When he zoomed in on the, uh-oh, here come the human calls. These ones here.
He saw that from one human call to the next, there was a lot of subtle variation.
Much, much more than I would expect.
And that's when it hit him.
What if?
What if?
What if?
What if they could be describing the individual humans?
Oh.
Now, at that time, no one suspected that this might even be a possibility. But I thought, well... let's try it and see what happens.
So, Khan recruited four humans.
And he had them dress exactly the same. Same boots, same blue jeans, same sunglasses, everything the same except the color of their shirts.
We had a person in a blue t-shirt, person in a green t-shirt, person in a yellow shirt, person in a gray shirt.
Then he asked each of them to walk through the prairie dog village.
One by one.
Prairie dogs made their chirps.
And when we analyzed the results, there were significant differences.
Like what kind?
They essentially clustered around the colors.
Does that mean you think you can hear them saying, here comes the human in blue?
Right.
Versus here comes the human in yellow?
Right.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, I was astounded. I was astounded.
And he was like, well, wait a second. These humans, they're not just different in their shirt colors. They're different in all kinds of ways.
Some of the humans were taller, some of the humans were shorter.
So we went back, reanalyzed the chirps, looked a little more closely.
And
he realized
we could tease out...
the prairie dogs were also commenting about...
the general size of the human. Essentially, they were saying, here comes the tall human in the blue versus here comes the short human in the yellow.
And then almost to kind of top himself, he says, okay, if they can do colors and they can do shapes of animals, how about something totally abstract?
And it was just...
not from nature.
Off-the-wall idea at that time.
He went back into the prairie dog field and he built two large wooden boxes.
Sitting on stilts.
A good distance from each other.
150 feet. And we strung wires between the two towers.
His team then made cardboard cutouts of three different shapes.
A circle, a square, and a triangle.
And then they ran them out along the wire, kind of like laundry fluttering above you in the breeze.
Each shape would emerge from one of the tower blinds and fly something like about 3 feet over the prairie dog town. And what we found was that the prairie dogs could tell the triangle from the circle very easily. But they could not seem to tell the difference between a square and a circle.
Huh. Why not?
Well, my guess is that triangles kind of look like cocks.
Mm.
Circles and squares kind of look like terrestrial predators.
Nonetheless, what you've got here is a little rodent with a remarkably big vocabulary, including but probably not limited to short, fat, skinny, tall, blue, green, yellow, gray, coyote, human, hawk, triangle, and or square.
Yay!
Not bad.
You guys, that is so cool.
It is.
I mean, prairie dogs.
Yeah, and Kahn says this is the most sophisticated form of animal communication ever recorded.
And we should say he also thinks maybe other animals can do this kind of thing. It's just really hard to capture, record, and figure out what's going on.
Well, thank you both for sharing that one with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, Renee.
That's Jad Abumrad and Robert Krowich from the show Radiolab, a production of WNYC. You can explore Radiolab at npr.org.
Every month, 170 million Americans use public media. That's like everyone who lives west of the Mississippi.
Plus everyone in New York and Florida. More than half the country uses public media to be informed, engaged, and inspired. Now, public media needs your support.
Learn more about federal funding for public media at 170millionamericans.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 20th of January, 2011. The birthday of Federica Fellini, born in Rimini, Italy, in 1920, who said all art is autobiographical. It's the birthday of the novelist and short story writer Robert Olin Butler, born in Granite City, Illinois, author of a collection